Big news this weekend. The Mueller report was finally released and trumpeted by Trump as he declares vindication in charges of conspiracy to work with the Russians. Well, we'll be talking about Trump and the courts this morning, where he faces the real trouble ahead. But let's first get your comments, Mike, on the Mueller report and the vast political intrigue and investments around this investigation.
Well, I'm not surprised that he was not found guilty of conspiring with the Russians to steal the election. I mean, Trump is a crook, and there are many investigations now going on with his financial machinations, loans, real estate. But the idea that the Russians are somehow so demonically clever that with a tiny bit of the monies available to the Democratic National Committee, that they and a couple of magical hackers could somehow steal the election, and that Trump is Putin's puppet, is a reactivation of the Cold War. It's a demonization of Russia, and it's really irrelevant to all the systematic effort that Trump is making to dismantle social protections, environmental protections, and the quality of life that we have painstakingly built in this country.
So what's that old line? It's fiddling while Rome burns, or it's a sideshow of some kind that's been riveting for various participants, including an obsession with the so-called liberal media. Endless reports on ferreting out the nuances and trying to read the signs and of Mueller and the incredible idealization of the integrity of Mueller, and who soldiers on in spite of the pressure on him.
He soldiered on to bring us the Iraq War. The allies, like people like John Brennan, the CIA, the FBI, the Democrats, in order to displace sense of their own failures or shortcomings or omissions in a complicated process of getting elected, they've scapegoated foreign countries as the cause, which I think is a profound mistake and doesn't even approach Trump's real criminality.
So let's talk about something cheerier, failures in the court, where there are admirable judges and pressures, community groups, activist groups, putting forth cases against the Trump administration. And interestingly enough, for months now, the federal courts have been ruling against the Trump administration areas of their top political priorities: environmental deregulation, anti-immigrant laws, reducing the rights of transgender service members, blocking federal funding for contraception, many areas that the right wing regularly pronounces victories in Trump himself. But if you look at the rulings of the courts, these victories appear to be somewhat of an illusion. Let's start with the ruling last week and maybe take up what's involved and whether we might also become prematurely too optimistic about these rulings. These are skirmishes in a longer-term battle, right?
Well, there are skirmishes throughout the administration. And they're mostly losses, and by losses, I mean a lot of losses. The Earth Justice Organization is about 120 lawyers doing environmental law. They've won 16 out of 17 cases. They've got to be getting tired of winning because
against the Trump administration around environmental, attempts at environmental deregulation.
You know, Trump is moving where he can within the executive branch of government. And he's trying to take back all the rules promulgated, particularly by President Obama, but many promulgated much earlier, to run the areas you mentioned, the environment. He's in charge with enforcing all the laws. And in areas, for example, like education, you know, Betsy DeVos has tried to postpone a regulation requiring states to identify school districts where there are significant racial disparities among students placed in special education programs. Well, the judge blocked her from doing that because she didn't provide any reasons for doing it and didn't give the public an opportunity to comment. So this is a typical loss. It's a loss for failure to comply with the Administrative Procedures Act, which is a law that governs all the areas of law enforcement, and with an environment, with education, with healthcare, immigration, everything. must comply with this law, which provides rudiments of due process. Nothing like the due process you would get if $1 million is at stake or life or liberty. But you've got to give reasons for making changes in the rules. You've got to give the public an opportunity to comment, and then you've got to articulate reasons why.
So that it does register something about the extreme arrogance in this cavalier approach to these federal cases and not taking them seriously enough, or being, is it incompetence, arrogance, being cavalier, or dismissive of the law?
I think it's impatience. They want to do everything right now, so they take shortcuts of all kinds. They don't wait the requisite 30 days for people to be able to comment. They move so quickly that they stumble. And I can tell you, these are procedural wins. They're not rules, for example, saying that this particular pesticide can never be used again because the EPA itself predicts 11,000 people will die if it's used. It's instead a procedural bar. But I've gained great respect for procedural bars within the area of death penalty.
As you mean, part of a larger strategy for social justice, because it can be dismissed as a kind of rationality associated with modernity, that if you follow rational procedures, that political pressures will be overcome through procedural logic. And there have been many critiques of the law in that way. But you're saying there is also something important about these deliberative rules.
I think they're very important. I think you've got to have a reason for doing things. I think these are fundamental principles of administration that should be followed by absolutely anybody, regardless of your views on what should be happening or not happening. I also think tactically they can be very effective because, for example, there was an administrative procedure challenge to the method of killing people in California, challenge to the three-drug cocktail that the state was using, which included a paralytic that would paralyze a person, along with some excruciatingly painful drugs. It was banned by veterinarians as something you could not use to kill an animal with.
Because the person being executed would experience pain, but the observers would be spared from seeing it.
Yeah. So what happened is that the state tried to come back with another way of killing people, and people made an administrative challenge to that. And it drug on so long that, I was kind of dismissive. I thought, how hard is it to kill somebody? An overdose of heroin, and they're gone. But they managed to delay all executions for now 13 years and counting.
Because the state had been committed to this particular method.
Right. And then when they finally lost on that, they came back with a new method, but they didn't come back and give people the right amount of time to comment. And it would seem to be like procedural niceties. How important can they be? But their practical effect on the ground was profound. The same thing is true, I think, in areas of environmental law. In some areas, they won't be able to come up with facts to support it. There won't be reasons available. It's simply wrong. In other areas where they will have reasons, things change. This, of course, has to be accompanied by political action, by people demonstrating, by people, individual vignettes, which have been very powerful in the areas of immigration, asylum, and DACA cases. But Administrative Procedures Act are not simply, bureaucratic momentary stays. They can easily extend throughout this first Trump administration and will change everything, unless there is a second Trump administration.
Because in part there are also these very conservative judges, federal judges being appointed all over the place.
Well, that's the long term. That's the disastrous part of Trump in the courts. There's always a lag because the executive has no control over the judicial branch of government, except in the long run of being able to
appoint
people who constitute the judicial branch. So just as Trump is now taking it in the shorts because there won't be, I can easily envision a Democratic president being completely frustrated by some foreign shopping conservatives going to the Southern District of Texas instead of the Northern District of California or the Southern District of New York. And because federal regulations can be challenged almost anywhere, if they have nationwide application, you have standing in virtually any court. So what's going to happen 4 years from now is that these Trump judges who are being appointed by scores of them are being appointed now are going to be delaying and frustrating policies of a Democratic president. But right now, what's happening is that Trump's efforts to change rules and regulations governing a whole host of life are being frustrated. His effort to cancel $150 million worth of loan forgiveness has been denied. Students will not have to pay that money back because of a clumsy effort being made by Betsy DeVos to support what she calls taxpayers and colleges, even though many of the colleges no longer exist.
I mean, in a way, it's the drama of the fight that is the Trump performance, that he's been in court much of his life, often losing, and doesn't seem to be tired of losing. And it seems that there is a narrative of, you know, he's mini Goliath on his side, and we see ourselves as hitting him with stones. But he casts himself as the victim, casts himself as the guy fighting with his fist up to the courts. And that may be more important in that political drama than the dry reports that come out slowly from the courts.
Well, that's just his style, to move impetuously and quickly. And
well, it's not just moving quickly. It's making these right-wing pronouncements and kind of mobilizing people for a fight, you know, as appealing to the sense of being marginalized. These courts are filled with elites, and we have to keep fighting and that sort of thing.
That's true. Well, he uses the losses in that way as ways of mobilizing, of playing the victim. So question how badly he does want to actually win, rather than create an existential posture of somebody besieged by horrible Obamaites.
Right. Well, this is Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker providing you our Monday morning commentary and report on the Mueller investigation, and hope for hard times in the federal courts, at least in the short run. Out on the streets of Mary, jolly old Rome, can't get me out unless you use a shoe on. Eve of destruction, but you still talking free trade. You give me lemons and I make lemonade. So I pray, though I'm tired. Each one you save, easy to save it when you don't need a dang thing. Talking about Jesus, but you treat people dead or wrong. Looking for answers, but you singing the same song. Your economics, well, they sure need a change. You know damn well them CEOs need no raise. Freedom and justice, well, they ain't your plaything. Prop up your puppets and you kill the real kings.